Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and the scriptures are from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. The sermon is titled, Now This Is the Faith. Hear the scripture from Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. Here ends the first lesson from the scripture. Our holy gospel is according to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know your teacher has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said. And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came down from heaven. The Son of Man, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. As the day was coming to a close, the evening sky starting to show the cascading colors shifting from the hues from day to night, the boat pushes off from the shore, out into the calm waters to cross over to the other side. They needed time away and an escape from the large crowd that had surrounded them all through the day's heat and stuffiness. Setting off from the shore released their hearts from the stress and strain of the overbearing crowd. Now it's just their small group. And the sea breeze blowing off the water was so refreshing. Rowing along a bit, then setting the small sail to speed their passage across the waters, they all sat down for a relaxing nighttime excursion. Heaviness of the eyes from the day's exertion had already brought one of their number to a deep, sound sleep on the cushion in the stern of the boat. Other boats started to set off from the shore to follow them, too. The time was passing peacefully during the night, till, with a ferocious suddenness, the winds whipped up the waves. A storm was released on them like a bucket pouring out a torrent of rain over one's head. The wind was whipping. The waves were whacking the boat. Terror took over their hearts. Wind, waves, terror just took over them as the drops smacked their faces, drenched them from the torrential rain. The cresting waves crashed over the sides of the boat. Bail the water! Bail faster! Comes the cries from the barely audible voices of the terrified people. Barely audible over that raging, roaring wind. Even the seasoned, lifelong fishermen feared the power of this unnatural storm that jumped out to destroy them, will bring their boat down to the depths. Along with them came the cry, "Wake the teacher! Before we drown, wake the teacher!" Fighting to keep the boat upright, bailing the water out, doing everything they can to keep from being swamped and sunk as the teacher rises and rebukes the wind. "Quiet! And the waves, be still." Ceasing. Immediately ceasing like a ferocious dog suddenly muzzled. Calm. Calm came. Calm, so strange and so suddenly as the storm stirred. Calm came. They're even more terrified at the calm, asking, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? That is the essential question that will be addressed over the years to come. For the great scriptures declare in the great confession of the Hebrew people found in the scripture book called Deuteronomy, which Moses wrote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Now, in the stern of this boat was one that even the winds and the waves obeyed. Who is this? Remember the time when Jesus said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven"? Then to the Pharisees, Jesus turned to and said, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I tell you, get up, Take your mat. Walk. Go home. And the paralytic got up and took his mat and walked home. Who is this? The Son of Man who forgives sins, heals the multitudes, and whom even the wind and the waves obey. Who is this one who was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again with flesh and bone, and ascended into heaven before their very eyes, who also said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Very easy to see this Jesus was fully man. Born a baby and raised like any other child in Nazareth, even learned the trade of a carpenter. The daily experiences of life showed and proved Jesus was fully human, eating, drinking, and at times being so tired that even a storm-tossed boat does not stir him from his slumber. Yet his teachings and his actions over those more than 3 years showed he was more, much, much, much more. How to describe and put into words for the generations to come so they could understand, could believe this one, this Jesus, is the Christ, the Son of God. The prophet Isaiah, with the awesome scene before his eyes, filled with awe and wonder at the words of the seraph singing, the thunder, the smoke, the shaking of it all, Isaiah knows for himself, woe is me. I am ruined, I am unclean, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He knew his sin before the holy, holy, holy God. How to put all of this together? To summarize the witness and testimony of the Scripture, along with the experience of the apostles with the crucified and risen Christ. How to fit the reality, the real life reality, of the Holy Spirit coming and filling them. How to place these things together in such manner that the generations to come would understand, would respond, believing, and be saved by grace. While they wrote their accounts, which became the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the letters they sent to the churches and the people that explain and expound upon their experiences show Jesus is the Christ and fulfills the Scriptures. Still, as time passes and the age of the apostles passes, various people, various places began to explain Jesus in a manner that just did not seem to fit the testimony of the Gospels, nor the letters of Paul, Peter, James, Jude, and John. These others were claiming to have secret knowledge. You had to learn the secret knowledge to be saved, knowledge known as Gnostic. These writings were proliferating with names attached to them to give them credence of truth. Names of the apostles and others, but the form, the substance, the Christ they described was contrary. They were all contrary to the witness of what was becoming to be known as the New Testament. This is when the confessions became necessary. What is true understanding? What is an understanding that is straying, that needs correcting, or an understanding that is outright wrong, needing rebuking? For the faith that truly saves, the faith that leads to being born again, the faith born with water and spirit, as Jesus explains to Nicodemus, is the only true saving faith. As it is necessary to be accurate and be precise with math calculations to safely design a bridge or a building or a rocket, even more important is answering the question of who Jesus truly is. For who Jesus is either the faith that truly saves, or is a falseness that leads to eternal perishing. Don't be so dramatic, some may be thinking. But yes, be that dramatic. The difference is more than life and death. The difference is eternal life, full of joy, with the true Lord God, or eternal perishing. Thus, the Athanasian Creed rightly begins, "Whoever wants to be saved should above all cling to the Catholic faith. Whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish eternally." And thus the Athanasian Creed rightly concludes, "This is the Catholic faith. One cannot be saved without believing this firmly and faithfully." Now, that word Catholic may cause some to cringe. That word stirs thoughts of Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church. That's not what Catholic word means. Catholic, the word Catholic simply means universal. And that's the reason the church in the first place came to be known as Catholic. For the first few centuries, there was only one church. Then the Eastern Orthodox Church split, and then the Reformation and other splits and so forth on through the years, there's been splits. This is the reason I simply say the faith. For there is only one faith that saves. The faith confessed in the three creeds, Athanasian Creed, Nicene Creed, Apostles' Creed. Many times throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus referred to the living God as His Father. Here are some examples. "My Father is always at His work to this very day. And I, too, am working. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only He has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. And the most powerful, clear words Jesus spoke was, "I and the Father are one." Who is this Jesus, the Christ? What is Jesus, the Christ's relationship with the Father? Many of the men who gathered in Nicaea had suffered greatly for Christ. Though the time of persecution under Emperor Galerius had ended some 14 years earlier, their bodies still showed the scars of persecution from willingly suffering for Christ and never denying the name of Christ, their Lord and Savior. It was these who suffered amongst those shuffling into the council that was called to make clear and affirm the nature of Christ Jesus the Lord. Martin Luther called the council the most sacred of all councils. How? How to affirm the Trinitarian nature of God? The Scriptures testify. How to express the nature of Christ such that the witness of Scripture stands firm over the rising heresy of Christ as a created creature, though exalted creature, a created creature. Scripture, John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33. "I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone Him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." John chapter 15, verse 26. "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me." The Council of Nicaea did not come up with something new. The creed that came forth was simply enunciating the truth that was as old as the apostles' testimonies, which wrote and spoke of this truth, the full deity of Christ. Jesus is God. A portion of a sermon from Mileto of Sardis about 170 to 180 AD. And so he was lifted up upon a tree. And an inscription was provided too to indicate who was being killed. Who was it? It is a heavy thing to say and most fearful thing to refrain from saying. But listen as you tremble in the face of him on whose account the earth trembled. He who hung the earth in place is hanged. He who fixed the heavens in place is fixed in place. He who made all things fast is made fast on a tree. The master is insulted. God is murdered. The king of Israel is destroyed by an Israelite hand. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The apostles, as disciples, walked with and lived life along those dusty roads following their wandering teacher. Jesus, being fully human, was not a question to them. It was plain to see. Jesus is human. He's a man. There was no doubt Jesus was a man. What challenged them was the signs and the wonders of such grandeur, no mere man could do them. 5 loaves, 2 fish, feeding thousands, walking on water, casting out demons, calming the raging storm and rebuking the winds, raising the dead, forgiving sins. Only God does these things. Bleeding from a brutal beating of scourging and cruelly nailed to the cross, giving up his last breath with words of forgiveness and giving himself to his Father. Dead and buried and rising on the third day, just as he said, with flesh and bone, fully human, yet coming and going from behind the locked, closed doors. Ascending back, taken back up into heaven. This man, Jesus, is God. Jesus is the Christ. The Christ who spoke of his Father and the sending of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came just as promised, and the church was established and building, expanding, and going out to other nations. As the church grew, new challenges arose to the faith. The creeds, the three creeds, the confessions of the faith do not create new doctrine. With words carefully chosen, carefully crafted to explicitly set forth the truth against error. The creeds in fidelity to the Scripture affirm the scriptural truths and speak the truth, for they proclaim the witness and testimony of the apostles. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Christ. And so I trust these few words impress upon you the importance of keeping the faith. Christ crucified and risen to redeem and save from sin and death. The only Christ that really and truly does save is this Jesus, the Son of God. Fully God, fully man. One person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God. Yet in the mystery, three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Scripture testifies it. The Scripture shows it. And the experience the disciples know, this Jesus is fully human and is God. This is the faith that truly saves. So when you enter into discussion, when someone starts using the word God or starts talking about Jesus or the Christ, are they talking of this Christ, this Jesus, of the confessions, of the testimony and witness of Scriptures? Discern and understand. Because in this day and age, oftentimes it is not the same Jesus. And it's not the same God. And it does not save. That does not save. Only saving faith comes in Jesus, who is the Christ. True God, true God, true God, true man, begotten of the Father, as the confessions say. That is the Christ that saves. That is the Christ that has forgiven you all your sins who believe. And it's by grace. And so I trust these few words impress upon you the importance of knowing and keeping the faith. For it's about salvation and eternal life in Christ, or eternally perishing. It's that important. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that is true. Just as the Son of Man, just as Moses lifted the snake in that cross in the desert, the Son of Man must be lifted up for forgiveness. Your forgiveness in His own precious blood. The living God died for you so that you could live with Him forever. The mystery of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, yet distinct three persons. It's the testimony of Scripture. It's the saving faith. This is what you need to know. Now this is the faith. The triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has redeemed and saved you by grace. Rejoice and be glad, for this is the day the Lord has made. Amen and amen.